and Tachi on 95.9 WATD.
Welcome back to Monday Night Talk, and our first guest this evening joining us for the State House Report is none other than State Representative Jeff Deal, representing the 7th Plymouth District, East Bridgewater, Abington, and Whitman. Sir, how are you?
Kevin, thanks. If it's Monday night, it's got to be Monday Night Talk with Kevin Tachi, so thanks for having me on.
Absolutely, sir.
How's that for my promo for you?
That was fantastic. And you know, when we do our new opening, we'll make sure that we somehow include it in there.
See, that's what I'm working towards, right? A residual, I think, right?
A residual, no. Absolutely. Well, I have to ask you, first and foremost, how have things been up on Beacon Hill?
Well, I'll tell you what, things have gotten real fast, real interesting, real fast. We've got news today that Dan Winslow, we all thought he'd be running for attorney general, possibly even governor, and we just found out today instead he's decided to resign from the legislature. I think people know Dan from his recent run for the U.S. Senate special election. He was one of the three Republicans running in a primary, and you know, he took Scott Brown's old state rep seat, and you know, had worked for Romney as his legal counsel. So it was very surprising today to get news that he was not running for statewide office again, but instead was planning to leave the legislature. So that was a bit of a shock.
How does this affect the Republican ranks in the House? Does are you guys looking to next year's election to, you know, rebolster or at least try to make some kind of headway when it comes to, you know, the number of Democrats and Republicans that are in the House of Representatives?
Well, yeah, I mean, we were always hoping to add numbers. You want to make sure that you're growing. I mean, at 30, we really still need to get a significant number more to counter the 130 that sit opposite us. But the fact of the matter is, you know, that district is still pretty strong for Republicans. You know, again, Scott Brown came from there. Senator Ross, who's still a senator, was the state rep from that same seat as well. So it's when you rank it as far as, I guess, the election people do all those rankings of districts, it still ranks pretty high Republicans. I think we'll be fine as far as keeping that seat. But the fact of the matter is Dan was a great voice, you know, I think across the aisle. I pride myself on trying to work with folks across the aisle, and I think Dan was a very similar soul. And now he'll be moving actually to San Francisco to become chief legal counsel for a firm that does technology information outsourcing. So it's a whole other world for him away from Massachusetts politics, and I wish him the best. But it was certainly a shock to hear that he won't be not only staying in office but also running for what we thought might be attorney general. And speaking of attorney general, I know that Martha Coakley announced this morning as well her intent to run for governor. So that was another, you know, bit of news that happened on a Monday in September.
Give me your thoughts on, you got two chief officers, you know, representing the state, your state treasurer and your state's attorney general, both of them seeking to be the next governor of the Commonwealth. Give me your thoughts. I mean, does that open up possibilities for new leadership as far as treasurer? Although I thought, you know, Stephen Grossman did a nice job picking up from where Tim Cahill had left off when he had sought to be the next governor. Didn't happen, of course. He ran as an independent. We know the story behind that. Give me your thoughts. I mean, as far as seeing these, other than seeing the gubernatorial race, we're going to see a race for those two seats.
Well, the one thing I'll say, you know, Kevin, is I agree with you. The treasurer's done a great job, and the Attorney General Coakley's done a great job. I will say this about, you know, Martha Coakley. Hopefully she knows the Red Sox are going to be making the postseason, so she may want to go down there to Fenway and shake some hands. But I joke. You know, both of them will make formidable candidates, and we'll see who comes out of the Democratic primary. Charlie Baker, obviously, has already announced from the Republican side. I don't see somebody primarying him on the Republican side. So it looks like it'll be, you know, a good race no matter who comes out of it. I know there's also some other people that are considering a run from the Democratic side. So it'll be a big field, and it'll give you know, voters a chance to learn, I think, a lot about the issues. And since Charlie already ran, I think people do have a sense of what he stands for. But I know Charlie is looking to, you know, open himself up personally more in this race, too. So that'll be interesting. I should mention, too, in case people want to know more about what Charlie Baker's like, I did just confirm with his people that he'll be headlining an event for me in Abington at the Ale House on October 9th. So if anybody wants to come and see Charlie, we'll be at the Ale House on October 9th from 6 to 8 p.m. I'll put on my website and on my Facebook page more information about that event. But again, it's a chance to come out and actually see, you know, the Republican candidate face to face. And I encourage people to get to know all the candidates because that's what democracy is all about.
Very good. Well, I have to ask, what is the latest in regards to a couple of different taxes that were voted as part of a new law that was part of the transportation finance bill? I know we've seen a lot of flack over the past couple of weeks in regards to the tech tax. And I know last week the governor was part of a movement to repeal it. Give me your thoughts. Where does that stand right now?
Well, for anybody who didn't know, the governor's original budget included about $2 billion in new taxes. And the legislature, the House and Senate, scaled it back to about $500 million in new tax increases. And included in that was the technology, what they're calling the tech tax, which was a 6.25% tax on services that IT professionals provide to customers. And what happened was it was a bill, or it became an element of the transportation bill, like you mentioned. And it was fairly unclear as to what they were trying to tax, to the point where, you know, again, I know my caucus, the Republicans, all voted against it with a handful of Democrats. And we were saying it's not truly clear what this tax is encompassing. They wanted to raise about $161 million from that portion of new taxes. And what they were finding was from the technology sector that not only was it going to raise way more, they think, you know, closer to $500 million, but it was also going to drive a lot of businesses likely out of the state because technology service companies don't necessarily have to be located in Massachusetts to do their job. And so they would just take their business, move it to another state, and still work for the same clients. And the outpouring of negativity towards the tax was such that last week, like you mentioned, the governor decided he would declare that they would repeal it. And the Senate president and the speaker also concurred that they will be moving to repeal that. So the good news is that tech tax is coming off the table. The bad news is one of the other taxes, the new gas tax, which is linked to CPI, or Consumer Price Index, which, for if you don't know, that's basically the rate of inflation each year. So what's going to happen is they're building in an automatic tax increase annually to raise the gas tax without a vote. And that's one of the things that we also said is just not right. We didn't say, okay, don't add 3 cents. We said, please don't make it so that you don't vote on this. You know, you really should be accountable for any tax increases you have. And so what we said was, make yourself accountable, and at the same time, don't link it to CPI, because one of the factors in CPI or in inflation is the cost of gas. So if you actually raise the cost of gas through this new tax, CPI goes up. But if CPI goes up, it forces the cost of gas to go up based on our state's new law. And so that's what we were saying is, those two reasons alone are a reason to repeal the linkage to CPI. And so I've gotten behind a group of activists that are going to collect about 100,000 signatures over the next 9 weeks. We have about 9 weeks to get it done. And there's a website to support it called tankthegastax.org. That's tankthegastax.org. You can go there, sign up to help, because we need to get these signatures so that we can make the ballot, so that in 2014, just like the alcohol tax, which was a tax on a tax because there was excise on alcohol already, we wanted to do the same thing, repeal that, just like what happened to the alcohol tax in 2010.
I guess I want to digress back to the tech tax and with the governor. The governor had made a statement while he was willing to work to repeal this tech tax, that he's going to look for, that, you know, that money, the $161 million, is going to somehow have to be replaced. Any word as to what they're going to look to replace it with? What other type of a tax or a fee are they going to institute on the residents of the Commonwealth to replace that money?
Well, it's a false premise to begin with, because actually they don't need that new revenue because they're already having revenue coming into the state exceeding what their expectations were. The Department of Revenue actually reported for FY13, which ended at the end of June, $627 million above what they considered benchmark, which meant how much they expected to bring in. So they actually brought in $627 million more. And when, you know, if you're going to hear the argument, well, you can't guarantee that every year is going to be like that. Well, let me just tell you that FY14, which was it started in July 1st, July and August have now come in both about $70 million more than benchmark. So we're at $140 million above the revenue they expected to collect already in just 2 months. And so my point is, we don't need to replace that $161 million because we're already looking at $627 million from last year and $140 million this year in new revenue they never expected. So don't buy into the premise that we actually have to replace that money. It's already coming in from the current taxes we have. And I will say one other thing just to make a plug, because I actually filed a bill, and I also filed it as an amendment to last year's budget. They didn't accept it. I'm hoping they'll do it this year, is to do a tax amnesty plan where people who owe money to the state would be able to, for a short window of time, pay their back debts and not have the penalties and basically move on with their lives, their credit ratings, and the state would realize a significant amount of revenue coming in. New Jersey did it, brought in $600 million in money that they didn't have before. We can do it. If we just get 15% return on investment in doing this program, we'll bring in $540 million. So more than we even needed to, more than any of the new taxes we're planning to bring in already. So fact of the matter is, we're bringing in the money as it is, and we have another avenue we could go down with this tax amnesty plan that would bring in additional significant revenue to not need taxes. So to answer your original question, we don't need to replace that $161 million lost in the tech tax. That's the bottom line.
He is State Representative Jeff Deal joining us for the State House report. Anything in closing, sir?
Well, no, I would just say that, again, if you're interested in meeting Charlie Baker, think about coming to the Abington Ale House on October 9th. It's a Wednesday, 6 to 8 in the evening. I'll be there, and I'll have a chance to talk to you, and also you'll have a chance to meet Charlie. And in the meantime, you can certainly catch me anything I'm doing either on my Facebook page, which is Jeff Deal, G-E-O-F-F-D-I-E-H-L, or my website, which is jeffdeal.com. Just add the .com, and you go there, and you can link to this gas tax repeal effort, as well as see what I'm doing at the State House.
Thank you so much, Representative. We definitely appreciate your continued support and information.
Thanks, Kevin. Take care.
We will step aside for just a moment, and when we come back, we'll speak with Peter Brown, Tiny and Sons. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Monday Night Talk.